Muy buenos días a todos los presentes, a mi amigo.
Good morning to everyone present, to my friend and brother missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín, who I always bless. And today I bless him, and may God keep him healthy and strong, and may God give him much wisdom. And in this third pool, may he be a pillar of light and of help to the ministry at this end time. May God also uses him in all of his fullness, as he has done until now, from this point on, in a greater way, according to God's perfect will. God bless you, Miguel, and his wife, Ruth, who always accompanies him. And may he also give her wisdom, understanding, to continue being of a great blessing for Miguel and for the Church of the Lord, just as I ask for that blessing for my wife, Sarah Melendez, who we pray for, so that God blesses her and use her greatly as well. And all of you also, and all those who are connected through the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8 and other means of communication. You know that when you see a relative, a family member you haven't seen for a long time, and you see them, your body always expresses itself by crying. I had to hold it in because the joy and happiness of seeing you all was so great that I was moved. But God straightened me, and I express my happiness, my rejoicement, by telling you, I am so happy to see you, so joyful, that someday we will not be separated. We will always be together at the marriage supper of the Lamb, in the millennium, and none other than an eternity. In other words, we will never be separated. It has been 14 years that we had not set foot in Brazil. And today, great things are beginning in Brazil. Warm greetings to the director of For Life here in Brazil, our friend Guto Pedreira, who is here with us. What a privilege and blessing to have you here. I ask for the blessing of the Most High upon you, and may you be of a blessing for the work of God here in Brazil. I also express my most sincere condolences for the departure of our brother and friend, Harry Acevedo, in Puerto Rico. He departed yesterday during the night. Miguel knew him, and some of the brethren got to know him. He was with health issues. His wife, Rosie, tells me, she told my brother Billy, William Perez, that they put the mask on him after he ate, and he went to bed. And in the morning, he was no longer there in that body. In other words, God took him in his sleep. Harry was the one who made the books for Brother William, the red ones, the one we use, seals, ages, and some messages. He put them together. He put some messages together in volumes, and the seals and the ages as well. And those are the books that Brother William used, of which Brother Miguel at some point tried to write in them. I believe those are the ones. But notice, Harry did a great work in the work of God, and we will see him soon. My condolences to his wife, Rosie, and his son, Junior, and his other daughter, and to all the relatives of our brother, Harry Acevedo. On this occasion, let us search in the book of Revelation, on the second chapter, verse 18. It says in the sacred scriptures, "And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornications, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works." There where it says, "I am he which searcheth the reins," there to the side he writes, "with the sword. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. But that which ye have already hold fast till I come." And there to the right, he draws a cornerstone and the ages. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. There to the right, he writes Revelation 11:3-5. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And above that, he writes, the sword, the word, the scepter. Revelation 19:11-20. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. And there above star, he writes HS, that is Holy Spirit. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The morning star. That is the subject that we will be speaking about in this Bible study. Under this subject, which we will be watching and listening to, preached on May 11th, 2016, which was the introduction, and on March 13th of 2016 was the Sunday Bible study, the morning star. You may please be seated. It tells us in the message, watch, a commandment to all. We are told by our brother William Soto Santiago, prophet messenger, bringing the good tidings to the people, announcing, sounding the trumpet of God, announcing the second coming of the Lord. Our brother Branham, Reverend William Marion Branham, forerunner of the second coming of the Lord, with the spirit and power of Elijah in its fourth manifestation from North America, he said to us in his message, of all the messages that he brought us, it's only one message. And in his message, he was speaking to us about how the coming of the Lord would be, how his second coming would be. For those who want to receive him, the Reverend William Branham from North America was the forerunner of the second coming of the Lord. Just as John the Baptist, with the spirit and power of Elijah in its third manifestation, was the forerunner of the coming of the Messiah in his first coming, in that young carpenter from Nazareth named Jesus. Now, in this message brought to us by Dr. William Soto Santiago, watch a commandment to all, preach on Saturday, March 3rd, 2001, in Fusagasugá, Colombia. He tells us, now, for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the command is to watch, to be watchful, to be in expectation, because the Son of Man will come as it is mentioned in the Scripture. Therefore, we must be vigilant, watching for the fulfillment of the promise of the coming of the Son of Man. In the message, Why Are People So Tossed About?, preached to us by the Reverend William Branham, on page 8, he tells us, see, cast your bread upon the water. It will return to you someday. Sow the right seed, you'll reap the right crop. You sow the wrong seed, you'll reap the wrong thing. You can't go east and west at the same time. You're either going one way or the other. You're either pointing toward God this morning with all you got, looking to Him, or you're pointed the other way. That is why some people say, and some preachers say, that all ways lead to God. There is only one way that leads to God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me, Christ said. In other words, in the fulfillment of the coming of the Messiah, notice, in His first coming, that was the way. But He tells us that at this time, mankind only has one hope, the second coming of the Lord. We see the way there again. In other words, once again, the I Am. If the I Am was Jesus in His first coming, the way to reach the Father, then in His second coming, the I Am, the way, the truth and the life, is the only way to the Father. You think sometimes you're going right when you're going wrong. But you can't go to the right and to the left at the same time. You will come out. If you're headed left, you're going left. And you come out left, you're headed right. You come out right. You can't keep from coming right. Notice, nothing can keep us from reaching perfection, from reaching our transformation. If you are on that right way, it will lead you straight to eternity. And He spoke that. Where does He tell us that if we went fully into the message, it will send you straight to eternity? Let's see if you're good students. Where is it? Which quote is it? What page? Let's see if we can find it quickly. Here we have the present audience and the audience 105. They were already telling me here as well, so you're keeping up with each other. 910. Paragraph 910 on the Book of Quotations. The Book of Quotations is a book of excerpts from messages preached by the Reverend William Branham. It says, on page 105, paragraph 910, I think many times, if someone could just bounce into it at once and wouldn't understand it, or would understand it rather, and come into it at once, it would almost send you to eternity, just with such a rapturing thing, and never know it, and just, oh, break through the things that we have seen and know and understand. That writing, above where it says, if someone went into the message, he would be sent to the rapture and eternity. Now, that way is the one that you and I are walking on, to the right side. In other words, without realizing it, you are being sent to eternity. It says, the gray hair will go out. Notice that is the process, the result of walking on that path. The wrinkles will fall away. The gray hair will go out, change in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. and we will meet our loved ones. Now, to meet your loved ones, you have to be on the right way, because that is the only way that at the end will be opening the sixth dimension. It is the only way where the sixth dimension will be opened. And the left way ends up at the end to the fifth dimension. There are only two ways. One, the marriage supper of the Lamb, and the other one, the great tribulation. In which way are you today? Whichever way you're on today, at the end, the result will be what that way is leading you to. We are on to the right, going the right way. So the sixth dimension will have to open for you no matter what. In other words, we are on the safe path. No one and nothing will take us off of that path. As Paul said there in Romans 8, neither high, nor low, nor deep, nor nothing. Paul says a lot of things there. In other words, just in case, Paul covers everything so that you don't drown in a glass of water over something so significant. Even the biggest problem is something so small compared to what awaits us at the end of the way. That is why it's worth it to continue on. It's worth it to continue persevering regardless the situation and problems, because we have been placed in the right way. You're headed right. You come out right. You can't keep from coming right. It may seem like you're going wrong, but you're going right. Follow the compass. And the compass is the Holy Spirit. The magnetic pole of the north holds that compass exactly north. And he writes there, where it says the magnetic pole, he writes, is Christ. Isn't it wonderful? That's the electronics of the air. I was standing near the North Pole here a few years ago, and here seeing them northern lights sweeping, and the yellow and green flashes in the dark midnight. Would make it light as it is in this room to walk by. And I thought, way down yonder in Central America, anywhere, that compass, or do you call it brújula? Brújula. Busca. Búscula. Búscula? Búsula. Búsula. That búsula will point right straight to that magnetic pole. There on compass or búsula, he writes above it, the Holy Spirit. And on magnetic pole, he writes, Christ. It'll guide you north every time. And how glorious that is, that we got a magnetic system in glory. And every man that has been made a compass to guide through this life will point towards Jesus Christ. Just as certain as we are sitting in the church today. And at the top he writes, the compass or búsula, The compass equals the Holy Spirit. The North Pole equals Jesus Christ. The morning star equals Jesus Christ. Now, our brother William continues to say here, and now, since Christ placed over his household servants, it says, for the Son of Man is a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. That is in Mark chapter 13, verse 34 to 37. And our brother William goes on to say, Christ in his physical and glorified body left his earthly house, that is his church, but he placed over his house faithful and wise servants, who in those days were the apostles, and then the angel messengers of each of the ages. It says in Matthew, or ask, who is the faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Since the kingdom or the kingdoms of this world are living in a time of night, of darkness, and that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ would also be during the seven ages living at night time. The faithful and wise servants of the seven ages, which are the seven angel messengers, they had to be watching, watching for the coming of the Son of Man. And having the people, the group of their age, awake and watching. Watching for the coming of the Lord. In the Book of the Ages, the edited one, it tells us, on page 241, if Brother Miguel would like to follow along in the study, I just send it to Ruth so that he can have it there. Before, the studies were prepared. And on some occasions, we had to either change suddenly because the Spirit of God led me another way. And sometimes, since it was already made, I had to stick to that. And then, in another activity, I had to read what I was supposed to fit in there, to join with that. And it was best then, just minutes before going up, sometimes I had everything ready and I didn't even touch the study that I prepared, because there were other excerpts, and it was already printed everywhere. So imagine. And then we realized that it was going to be printed anyway and be available in volumes. So then, to avoid using so much paper, imagine, sometimes the study was 15 pages or 5 pages long. And that is why it's not given out now. But we can go on seeing how at some point we can use it again. But for us, there is no problem. But that is why. Look, he tells us in the message, the Thyatirian Church Age, which is in the Book of the Ages, on page 241, and I will give him the morning star. According to Revelation 22:16 and 2 Peter 1:19, Jesus is the morning star, and I am the root and offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. Unto the day dawn, there he writes, seventh millennium, and the day star arises in your hearts. The Spirit is, therefore, making a promise to the elect of the dark ages relative to himself, and then in the ages to come. And we have already stated, Jesus identifies himself with the messengers of each age. There he writes, the eight messengers. They receive from him the revelation of the word for each period. This word revelation brings the elect of God out of the world and into full union with Jesus Christ. These messengers are called stars because they shine with a borrowed or reflected light of the sun, even Jesus. There to the left, he writes, the morning star, and he draws a cornerstone. And to the right, a star of David, a cornerstone, and the ages. They are also called stars because they are holders of light at night. Thus, in the darkness of sin, they bring the light of God to his people. And there at the end, he writes, the revelation of the word brings out the elect. What brings the elect out from age to age? The word. The revelation. And that is what we see in Matthew chapter 13. Those reaping angels making the separation, the segregation. And how do they do that work? With the word. On the left, he writes, Jesus Christ identifies himself with the messenger of each age. Now notice, in the Bible study, on that occasion, there, he wrote, on top of the subject, we prepared this study in Puerto Rico. He writes on top of the morning star, he writes, Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ in his temple, in his church. And to the right, I don't know if you can see it from here. He draws, if Erson can zoom it in. There, this part, let us put it like this, so you can see it. There is a study that I think we used it in 2022, where he draws there the seven ages, seven stars, but in the gap, he places another one, and then in the cornerstone, there is the one of the cornerstone. Because remember that Brother Branham placed or wrote Holy Spirit in that gap. But notice, in many places, he wrote many things related to that part, and he never spoke of them. Because if he would spoke of them, he would open the seventh seal. Because the next thing above that stage was the fulfillment of the coming of the Lord in an age and a dispensation that is above. The Archangel Gabriel appeared to the Virgin Mary. Back in that time, the space between the seventh Hebrew age, which in those days was under the law, and the cornerstone, Jesus, the capstone. Now notice, he also writes there, Jesus is the morning star in Holy Spirit. He is the Son of Righteousness. And he also writes, the morning star, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Now, in the Bible studies, there are details in writing for the people, and there are writings for the messenger. And someone may read them and say, but why didn't he say it if he had it written? But notice, God always works what corresponds to each age with the messenger of that age or that dispensation. The messengers are very respectful. And what is for a messenger, even if some may try, God then shows them. It happened to Brother Branham. He was there in Cairo. And what messenger wouldn't have wanted to turn the Hebrew people to Christ? Aware that with the 144,000 sealed, after that, the establishment of the kingdom would be near. And that would be the wise and faithful servant. He says, I can almost reach over and get a hold of it, referring to the fulfillment of the tenth vision. In other words, if God would have allowed him, then he would have to fulfill with him all the promises. But notice, the millennium did not begin. The establishment of the kingdom did not begin. The millennium did not begin. Notice, any countless of things would be carried out through that last instrument, the faithful and wise servant. Now, he goes on to say here on page 241, this is the Dark Ages. It is especially dark, for the word of the Lord is almost entirely hidden from the people. Knowledge of the Most High has almost ceased. Death has overcome vast numbers of believers until their ranks are decimated. The things of God are at the lowest ebb to this date, and it seemed that Satan would surely conquer God's people. If ever a people needed a promise embracing the land where there is no night, it was the people of the Dark Ages. On the land, on top of it, he writes age. And that is why the Spirit is promising them the morning star. He is telling them that the chief star, even Jesus, who dwelleth in light, unto which no man can approach, will in the future kingdom illuminate them by his own personal presence. He will not be using the stars, messengers, to give light in darkness any longer. It will be Jesus Himself speaking to them face to face as He shares His kingdom with them. And to the left, He writes face to face. Now remember, in the time of Moses, Moses spoke face to face with God in his theophany, in that heavenly body. Now, when God says to him, let me take you away from that people, or eliminate that people, and let me put you over a greater people. And do you know something? That just as Moses saw God face to face back then and spoke with him face to face, God was showing Moses, who is one of the two olive trees, that at the end time, that ministry would be over that greater people. And God in this time is fulfilling that promise that He said to Moses, I will put you over a greater people. Therefore, automatically, that people would be talking and seeing God face to face through His final manifestation. As simple as that. But how is it possible that something so great, God would be fulfilling it in such a simple way? Notice. Because when God is going to fulfill something great, He fulfills it in a simple way. And the greater He is going to fulfill something, the more simple. Man is the other way around. He thinks that when God is going to fulfill something great, well, they look for Him up there. And they do not realize that He always fulfills it in the common of the people. How do they expect Jesus to come down there where Caiaphas and the high priest were? Down a stairway from heaven, Brother Branham said. But He came to them in a young man, a young carpenter from Nazareth, a construction worker, to honor the contractors, the builders, the carpenters. And He was a completion builder. That is, He was skilled in the work that He carried out. He carried out the perfect work of redemption. And in His second coming, He carries out the claiming work perfectly. That claiming work. Because we are heading towards perfection. Therefore, we must have a perfect builder in whom the Holy Spirit, the pillar of fire, is carving out those living stones, making them, building them, carving them like the potter with the clay, molding them His own way. And the people of this end time is so obedient that they say, Lord, mold me Your way. I will not resist, but instead, let myself be led by You. Mold me, Lord. Make me like You. And that is what He is doing through the Word. It is the morning star. And He writes Moses, because the ministry of Moses is a dispensational messenger. It is the morning star that is visible when the light of the sun commences to shine. When our Son, Jesus, comes, there will be no further need of messengers. Glory to God. He will bring us His message of cheer Himself. And He writes, Year of Jubilee. And as He rules His kingdom, and Brother William writes, He shepherds 8H. There is the shepherd prophet, shepherding his sheep, leading them to fresh pastures. That is said by David in a psalm. And we live in his presence. The light of the word will become brighter and brighter in our perfect day. And he writes there above that last sentence, seventh millennium and seventh dispensation and the age of the cornerstone, eighth day. And to the left, he draws a cornerstone and the ages and number the last three, 5, 6, 7, and above the eight, he writes eight inside the cornerstone. What else could we desire above Jesus himself? And there he writes at the top, in the seventh millennium, in the millennial kingdom, in the seventh dispensation. And a cornerstone and the ages and the number eight inside. Is he not everything, even perfect everything? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Now, our brother William goes on to say, in the message that we are reading, on page 2 of the study, at the top it says, in other words, they have to have the people waiting for the second coming of Christ. Who? The messenger of the ages. Not by telling the people, that is far away. No. By telling them, that is to come to pass. And it may come to pass in our days. And we have to be ready to be transformed and go with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. In other words, each messenger spoke to the people in the present tense. Why did they speak to them in present tense? Because the one who was operating in those prophets was the Holy Spirit. Therefore, the Holy Spirit is an ever-present. And he spoke as if it were at that time that God would be fulfilling those promises. The Apostle Peter said that the men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and on. Now, in the book of the ages, tells us on page 156, in every age, we have exactly the same pattern. He draws a cornerstone in the ages to the left. That is why the light comes through some God-given messenger in a certain area. And then from that messenger, there spreads the light through the ministry of others who have been faithfully taught. And there he draws to the right a cornerstone and the ages, and he numbers them up to eight. But of course, all those who go out don't always learn how necessary it is to speak only what the messenger has spoken. Remember, Paul warned the people to say only what he said. There he writes, the Holy Spirit speaks through the messenger. First Corinthians 14:37, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the thing that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. What? Come to the word of God out from you, or coming to you only? And he writes, the light comes through the messenger and then it spreads. They add here or take away there. And soon, the message is no longer pure and the revival dies down. How careful we must be to hear one voice. For the Spirit has but one voice, which is the voice of God. Paul warned them to say what he said, even as Peter did likewise. He warned them that even he, Paul, could not change one word of what he had given by revelation. Oh, how important is to hear the voice of God by way of His messengers and then say what has been given them to say to the churches. Our brother William keeps on saying, and now we can see that each faithful and wise servant, each angel messenger had to have the people ready, giving them the spiritual food of the word pertaining to the age to which Christ sent him to. In the message, Watchman, What of the Night, preached by the Reverend William Branham, on page 17, it tells us, and just the pastor raised up and began to pray for the sick. Oh, he is God. Oh, he is God. Sickness was healed all over the building, everywhere. What is it? The breaking of the day. He writes, the millennial kingdom. There's a little branch still left. Don't worry. God has never been without a witness. And he writes, branch and a cornerstone in the ages. Trusting now that something great, mystic somewhere, maybe not in an angelic voice, but something will let every sinner, if there be such in this building, know that the night is drawing darker and darker over the earth and gross darkness. But the coming of the Lord is at hand. What's a doing it? And as your watchman, I say, the morning cometh. Be ready, morning stars, shine. And he writes, morning stars. Now, our brother William continues to say, now, we find that those faithful and wise servants of the Church of Jesus Christ are also the watchmen, the sentinels, guards or guardians who keep the night watches. And we find that the Holy Spirit was in them, the angel of the covenant, manifested in Holy Spirit, who is the chief sentinel or watchman. In other words, the chief watchman is the Holy Spirit. But in order to watch over the church and keep her informed, alert, he must have an instrument, a man, a messenger. In the message, God's gifts always find their places, tells us on page 26, it says, and many here tonight, more than a dozen, I guess, raised their hands that they wanted to receive the Holy Spirit. May they, just like the wise men, maybe none of the rest of the congregation will ever see what goes on. And this star, this mystic light, passed over the observatories for 2 years, where people even kept time then by four watches. They kept time by the stars. Nobody, no historian wrote of it. No one knew nothing about it, and yet it was there. He is speaking about the Star of Bethlehem. And these wise men, with their appropriate gift, was guided right through it. May that same light come into every heart here tonight. That's setting present. And there he writes, stars aligned. Today, Luther, Wesley, and William Marion Branham. Now, he continues to say, that is why each messenger is the watchman of his age, the sentinel of his age, who makes the divine program known to the people, makes known to the people the conditions that mankind is living at that time. In this same message, Watchman, What of the Night, tells us on page 9, it says, now, we notice again that in this day, just before the coming of the Lord, these same beings are to return again. And I wonder, as we look around and see the nature of them, watch what they are doing. And I wonder if a lot of these mysterious sights isn't exactly what Jesus said would take place. Now remember that before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, those three characters were there, Elohim, Gabriel, and Michael. And before the Great Tribulation begins, mankind will have, it says here, that before the destruction, they will have those same characters. Therefore, the seventh angel messenger has already left. The Archangel Gabriel gave the good tidings and left. So, who is speaking to the church today? Then you should see that what's left is the fulfillment of what was seen in the time of Abraham, where there was a change of dispensation, in the time of Noah, in the time of Seth. Notice, in each change of dispensation, it always happens that God sends a dispensational messenger. Notice, in the time of Moses, then in the time of Jesus, and at the end of time, the church must have a dispensational messenger in her midst. In other words, what Jesus said would be fulfilled. That the coming of the Son of Man would be like in the days of Lot. What was there in the days of Lot? Elohim with Gabriel and Michael. In other words, the coming of the Son of Man with his angels. That is the great mystery of the seventh seal, where he himself would be talking to his church and telling his church, I am, here I am, to bring you the blessing that you are waiting for, that you were longing for, because the church was ready, but she did not have the rapturing faith. So therefore, I am he that speaks. It says, behold, it is I who will be present. So it is I myself. I myself will go and get them. None will be left behind to go through the great tribulation. But rather, I am going to take them all to the marriage supper of the Lamb. End. Notice what he continues to say. There will be signs in the heavens above, and in the earth there will be distress between the nations, perplexed of times, earthquakes in diverse places, and men dying with heart failure. Not women, men. Women don't die every often with heart trouble. It's men. It fulfills what Jesus said would be. It's exactly what he said would be. And then, as we could go on hour after hour, on all the prophets, how they have prophesied of this day, would not it make one cry out, "Watchman, what of the night?" The Pentagon doesn't have the answers. The United States doesn't have the answer. Germany, Russia, none of them have the answer. Science doesn't have the answer. Who has the answer? To the left he writes, Revelation 10, 1 to 11. The mighty angel who has come down from heaven. Notice how today we can speak in present tense. Not in a term in which we spoke when Christ rises from the throne, takes a title deed, opens it in heaven, brings it to earth, gives it to a man so that he may eat it. And that angel, that man, in whom the angel of the covenant, the pillar of fire, would be manifested, then he would have to prophesy before many people, nations, and tongues. Today that scripture, notice, and all the ones that have to do with this end time, we can say, this day, this scripture is being fulfilled before you. In other words, we now speak in present tense. Those scriptures are already coming to life. And how do they come to life? Through you and me. Because the written word is dead. But when you put it in action, when it is spoken through the prophet messenger assigned by God for that time, that word produces everything that was brought forth at that time. And what is it producing today? Sons and daughters of God, whom will be perfect, whom will be filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit, where their bodies will be changed. In other words, there is no other people. There is no other age. There is no other dispensation. There are no other human beings whom are going to receive that blessing. It is you. And it's me. Because we have been accounted worthy to stand at this end time before the Son of Man. Oh, that is such a great blessing. There are no words in the vocabulary to thank God, because we have been able to see, to understand what Brother Branham insisted so hard on, and our Brother William insisted so hard on. If you do not watch, you will miss it, because it was going to be so simple that it could be overlooked. But we have that insight, that attribute, the great attribute from where we came from. And that is why we joined that and we become one piece. Everything fits so good together. Everything interlocks so good that there is no way for us to miss that simplicity. because God has revealed it to us. He says, to the babes, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. He was pleased. That is why it's not of him that wills, nor of him that runs, but rather, Lord, thank you, because it's your mercy that you have had with me and with you. Because by ourselves, we wouldn't have made it anywhere. But blessed be the Lord, that we haven't just made it to the corner, but we have turned the corner to a new age and a new dispensation, the dispensation of the kingdom, where all the promises of the dispensation of the kingdom are yours and mine, and no one will plunk them out of our hand. We are possessors of those promises. Now, why are we possessors of those promises? Because the title deed is in our midst. In other words, the revelation, the essence of who God is, which is being made known. Without the title deed, there is no claim. There is no resurrection. There is no transformation. There is no rapture. But I assure you that there will be a resurrection, that there will be a transformation, and there will be a rapture to the marriage supper of the Lamb. That, in common words, is there is no one who can take those promises away from us. Those promises, Brazilian people and Latin American people, are yours, and they are mine as well. Now notice what he continues to say here. Who has the answer? The watchman that's on the wall has the answer. Watchman, what of the night? And the Holy Spirit is that watchman who is making ready the people and giving warnings from God. He has been set as a watchman. Who? The Holy Spirit. And there to the right, he writes, the tower, watchman, the Holy Spirit. We see the sick being healed, blinded eyes coming open, deaf ears unstopped, cripples walking, the lame leaping like a hart, fulfilling the three dots. What is it? It's the coming of the Lord pressing on. There he writes, each angel messenger is a watchman in the night of the seven ages of the church. And in the morning, it is the angel of Jesus. Notice, in Revelation 22:16, remember that the scriptures have multiple fulfillments. And God is one. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel. And he writes there, the messenger with the theophany. Because it is the theophany of God, the Holy Spirit, the one that has worked from age to age and from dispensation to dispensation. But that Holy Spirit, which has been working from age to age, Brother Branham said, when this Holy Spirit that we have becomes incarnate to us, the one that's in our midst now in the person of Jesus Christ, when he becomes incarnate in the person of Jesus Christ, then we'll crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Notice that a time would come when that theophany would be made flesh, and then it would be the fulfillment of Revelation 19, verse 11 and on, which is that white horse rider, who is the Word, who has a name written on his virtue and on his tie, he has his name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Therefore, in the final manifestation, as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, where the Holy Spirit would be incarnate of what the Reverend William Branham spoke, then he has to have a name. And that name has to carry out the work that goes along with that name, like the work pertaining to redemption, with the name Jesus, which means Savior, Redeemer. For the claiming work, well, he must have the name that carries out, and that means the work he would be carrying out in his claiming work. Everything is parallel. Now, on the two pillars, which were placed there in the Temple of Solomon, which to the right, they placed the name Joachim, and to the left, Boaz. But notice, if one looks at the pillars from the outside, in other words, looking from east to west, how do the Hebrew people read from right to left? But if you stand inside the most holy place and look outwards, Joachim is to your left and Boaz to the right. And with that, I told you everything there. However you look at it, you see it the right way, because the Hebrew people reads from right to left. But if you're standing on the inside, you will read from left to right, and both will have the same revelation, both the Hebrew people as the church bride. See how there is no way to miss it? Now, he continues to say, and all these things are these warnings. And people continually press right on through to their beer parties until their time of folly. And they frolic, and they dance, and they eat, and they drink, and they marry, and they are given in marriage. Just as God said it would be. No way of stopping them. Then, if you notice, in this great church age, according to Revelation 3, at this age now was the one who was given the morning star, just before the coming. And there to the left, or to the right, he writes, I will give him the morning star, the pillar of fire. Now, where was the pillar of fire seen, which rested upon a little wooden room that he saw in that tenth vision? Well, then, that instrument that was there was the one who received the morning star. He received his coming. In other words, that his coming would be fulfilled in him. Watch how scriptural Isaiah was when he said, Watchman, what of the night? He said, the morning cometh, and the night also. What? The morning comes, but the night comes before the morning. What was it? Anyone knows that just before the break of day, just as the hours of the approaching of the day, it turns darker than it ever was. Oh, my friends, listen to Thus saith the Lord. If you consider me to be his servant, it's just before the break of the day. And he writes, the millennial kingdom. Now notice, he as a watchman of his age, in other words, the Holy Spirit working through him, had to be warning the people that the morning was about to come, as the watchmen in the ages had to do as well, what we saw from what our brother William told us in that we read a few minutes ago, which was the responsibility of each one of them to alert the people that the day was about to break, even if there was still a long time to go. Now notice on this other message, we'll return back to this one, in the Watchman, What of the Night. But in the message, the Mighty God unveiled before us, on page 27, he tells us, we see the sign of his coming. There'll be three dots. It's always darkest just before day. Then the morning star comes out to hail the day and to herald it and show that it's coming. And in the same message, on the back he writes, the morning star comes out before the day comes. And he writes, millennium. In other words, the millennial kingdom. He goes on to say, here in Watchman, What of the Night, that's why this horrible gloom is over the earth. It's just before the coming of the Lord. It's just before the coming of the Lord Jesus. And to the left he draws a cornerstone and the ages, an arrow toward the cornerstone, and also toward the seventh age. There is no more hope left in nothing but his coming. Nations are against nations, and they have fooled through God's laboratory. There he writes, God's laboratory, till they got the power to blow one another into atomic ashes. And he writes, atomic bomb. And they are wicked, and they are unreligious, and they are unChrist-like. And the only motive they have, an objective, is to destroy. And they are inspired by the destroying angel that was sent from heaven to inspire this man. Let me say, in the name of the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit is sent as a watchman on the tower. And as the people cry, what of the night? Are you worried of this life? Are you worried of sin? Are you worried of funeral processions and sickness and ungodliness on every hand? Has the night been long and weary? What of the night, watchman? He said, the morning cometh. And he writes the millennium. See the comfort. And the night also is coming. What is the night? Look how in perfect harmony with the scripture Isaiah was. There to the left, he writes Revelation 10:6, and on the cornerstone, he draws the cornerstone and the ages. And he writes on the cornerstone, they, and on the ages, he writes night. And you will say, but I am in the age of the cornerstone, but the earth is in darkness. But we are the children of light, and since we are placed in the age of light, in the age of the cornerstone, we are shining. We are the light of the world. And you may say, I heard someone say that before. Didn't Jesus say, I am the light of the world? He said it. And you say, but so am I. Because what he is, I am also. And we are in the age of light. Therefore, we are on that path to reach everything he is, our older brother. now notice that about the light is what Brother Branham saw, how that pillar of fire spoke to someone, because he knew how that worked. Because he says, that light that you see in the picture whirled away from me. Therefore, it stopped talking to him, stopped talking through him, and went to speak through that other one. But notice, because of those people being in the most holy place, then it's not just one, but it becomes that little flock, that little sheepfold, which the pillar of fire would also be speaking to. And it would no longer be one. Then it would be a group of elect, placing the word right. When that group, where does he say that? In the seals? On page, is the fourth seal. Page 292. Now, we had him coming last night with his great sword to kill. We find out that he gets killed with the sword too. The sword of the word. God's word, sharp two-edged sword, slays him, puts him right down. Wait till them seven thunders utter their voices. In other words, after those seven thunders utter their voices, something would bring forth in those who would be hearing those seven thunders, the voice of the mighty angel. Let us see what it will bring forth to them. What will that word produce in those chosen ones, which has not produced in past times? To that group who really can take the word of God and hand it there, in other words, solve the puzzle, which the Holy Spirit is the only one who can place each piece in its place. But the Holy Spirit is telling the elect how to do it. And they are learning, like when one teaches our children. Now we speak of our grandchildren who pick up a puzzle piece, and when they haven't done a puzzle before, one shows them that the blank or slot has to fit with a knob or tab that has the other part. And one goes on showing them basics first, and then you go on telling them, see this little line? You have already the first part of the male and the female in that piece according to the whole. Then let's go to the second step. Look at the colors. One color has to blend with the other so that it can match. And while you are putting it together, you begin to see the picture. And you can see different things of the picture. And the child goes on seeing the picture. It is like the Holy Spirit teaching you. And do you know what you're building there? You go on seeing it. And when you're building it, piece with piece, piece by piece, and God starts showing you and telling you, put this piece here. And you go on to put it, and he says, no, not like that. Look carefully. See how it fits. Oh, it's like this. And he corrects you. And you put on all the pieces together. And at the end, when you look, but if it is me, I am building myself by your word. You are making me constructed me by your word, by your teaching. You're making me a perfect man to your image and likeness. That is where we are headed. Stay on that way, on the right way. And that group who really can take the word of God and hand it there, it'll slice and cut. And they can close the heavens. They can shut this or do that, whatever they want to. Revelation 11:19, he wrote that there. And on that sentence where it says, to that group, on that sentence above he writes, Moses and Elijah with the group of the elect. And to define this and speak it plainly, because one reads that, oh, Moses and Elijah with the group of the elect. Look, that's simple. It is like to say, here present, say, Moses and Elijah with the elect. And that is how it would be with everyone who is seeing us connected on this occasion. The group of elect with the I Am. With the pillar of fire. The pillar of fire veiled and revealed in Joseph. Notice how God is speaking to us plainly, because Paul says that we would see face to face, not by mirrors, types, figures. Now we speak one to one, from one friend to another. In Puerto Rico we say, from pana to pana, which is from homie to homie, from colleague to colleague. I don't know how you say it here in Brazil. Amigo to amigo? God called Abraham my friend. Now notice what he continues to say here. Look how in perfect harmony with the scripture Isaiah was. In the regular course of nature, always that the approaching of the sun congeals the darkness together and makes it dark. It darker is before day than any other time in the night. Why? It's the approaching light that's making it dark. And it's the approaching of the Lord Jesus now that's bringing this gloom upon the earth. Did not he say, when these things begin to come to pass, lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing nigh? Palestine is a nation. The Jews have returned from all over the earth and are placed there to see him come. Didn't he say that the Hebrew people, when they see Christ coming for his bride, they will say, but this is him. He will rise with healing in his wings. Let us see where that is. In the book of Quotations, on page 22, paragraph 176, below that paragraph, when the Lord Jesus shall come for his bride, and they shall see him, they'll say, that's the one we've waited on. There he is. He'll rise with healing in his wings. And the Hebrew people, the only one they receive is a prophet. The healing in his wing, the ministries of Moses and Elijah. To those who fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with health, salvation in his wings. As God said, they would. Learn a parable of the fig tree. When it puts forth its buds, he said, so will it be that this generation shall not cease, shall not be done away with. It shall never end until all these things will be done. What generation? The generation that sees the fig tree putting forth its buds. Now, he continues to say, further on this same message, Watchmen, What of the Night? On page 11, he tells us, just before the breaking of day, there is always one great light that's always placed in the heavens, and that is the morning star. And he writes, the morning star. When you see the morning star getting bright, brighter and brighter, then the earth gets darker and darker. And he writes, earthquakes, wars, etc. And the reason it is brighter is because the earth is darker. And the church of these last days, the called out and the elect body of Christ, has been promised by the Bible that he'd give them the morning star. And he draws a cornerstone. And inside he draws a really big Star of David. Watchmen, what of the night? What's going to happen? Here it is. Total annihilation is coming to the whole world. But before that annihilation takes place, the Church of Jesus Christ will go in the rapture to meet her Lord. What is the morning star to do? What makes the star so bright at that time? It's the approaching of the sun. The morning star is reflecting the light of the sun. The other stars seem to dim at that hour. And he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and an arrow toward the cornerstone. All the man-made theologies, all the cold, formal, indifferent, will dry up. But that watchman sitting yonder on the tower with the morning star will reflect the true message of the Lord Jesus soon to approach, because he is brighter and brighter all the time as the sun begins to rise. Oh, I would say, don't you remember the scripture that the missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin used back in 2002, a scripture inspired by God, which today he can understand why when he read the scripture of Joshua. But notice, at some point, in the ministry of Joshua, who represents the Holy Spirit at this end time, in the leader, in the messenger, while he was with Moses, he was learning. He was being taught by the tutor. But there would come a time when he would be ready. And what were the words of the Lord there? From this day, I will begin to magnify you among the people. What for? So that they may know that as I was with Moses, I am with you. In other words, that a stage would come where God would show that just as he was with Moses, he was with Joshua. He did the same thing. He opened or parted Jordan. And the Holy Spirit at this end time, who is incarnate, who will say to the people, it doesn't matter that the great tribulation is before you. March. And you will see how the great tribulation will open up. And we will pass the Jordan on dry ground. In other words, we will not see death. Why? Because just as he showed the people that God was with him at this end time, God will vindicate that ministry, and great wonders and miracles will be seen. And the people will say, truly, the pillar of fire, the pillar of light, is in the midst of the people. This is truly him. Because that is what the Hebrew people will say. But the bride will have already identified him. They will be able to say, you won't take him until we receive the blessing. And he used to say, and they might get jealous, remember? When he used to say that many times? Well, notice, at this end time, that will be seen clearly. They will start with the pushing back and forth. No, I want to take him. No, he's mine. But he is part of us. The church bride will say, yeah, but we are waiting for him. There, he will show them what the first coming of the Lord was. And they will understand and weep and mourn. But notice, it was all to preserve life. The same thing that happened to Joseph and his brothers. They were grieved for doing that to their brother. Where did you receive those wounds? Now, how? How can they see the wounds? They will be shown that the one they crucified was the one they were waiting for. They will understand the wounds. In other words, they will obtain the revelation of what the first coming of the Lord was. They will understand the work that he did in his first coming. In other words, the Feast of the Atonement will be repeated there. Now, look, he continues to say, oh, I would say, morning star, rise and shine to the glory of God. For the approach of midnight, darkness is upon the earth, and gross darkness upon the people. But the morning cometh, and the stars should be given their lights. Where were you when... Where is that, Miguel? Job? That the stars shouted, and he says here, rejoice. Rise and shine to the glory of God. It should be 30-something. Verse 4. Where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding, who had laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or what hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who laid the cornerstone thereof, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Now notice, that happened back then, in that time here, where the stars shouted for joy when the cornerstone was laid. And at the same time, the people of God, the stars, shout for joy again, because they are seeing the cornerstone resting upon that great body, that mystical body of believers, which is the spiritual temple of the Lord. And there is the revival. That revival that Brother Branham said that the thunders would produce. 104. Let us see if it's 104 on the Book of the Seals. Or 212. 104 speaks about the thunders. Where does it speak about the revival? Let us see on page 243. Now that's what's the reason today that the revivals that we are supposed to have, we have denominational revivals. We haven't had a real stirring. No, sir. Don't think we got revivals. We haven't. Oh, they've got millions and millions and millions of church members, but not a revival nowhere. No. The bride hasn't had a revival yet, see? There has been no revival there. No manifestation of God to steer the bride yet, see? We're looking for it now. It'll take those seven unknown thunders back there to wake her up again. See? Yep, he'll send it. He promised it. Where would the revival be? In the thunders. Therefore, the children of God would necessarily have to shout for joy. And there is the revival of the last day. Now notice, he continues to say, think of that horrible hour that's facing the whole world. Think of that horrible gloom that's facing every person unsaved today. All nations and all the mountains and all the farms and all the houses that they're gloried in, shall be made powder to volcanic ashes again. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. But those who love the Lord, Paul says, those who love His coming, 2 Corinthians around there, in other words, those who love His coming, if you have it there so you can write it down, but those who love the Lord, notice, in other words, that is not, is it in Timothy? Let us see, 2 Timothy. Chapter 4. Verse 7. Notice. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. And you will say, well, then I must be given the same thing, but on a greater scale, because we are in the age of the cornerstone. Why? Because I also love His coming. Therefore, I am entitled to that blessing. In other words, the blessing pertaining to the age of the cornerstone. Each one, each messenger with their group will receive the blessing pertaining to his age. But ours is to be above, is the one of being at the top, in the age of the cornerstone, in the place where the presence of God is. In other words, the one who is beside the Lord there, and the one who is in all those stages, must be a person who has been walking on the right way. No other person who is walking on another way can get in there. But those who love the Lord, those who have the morning star's light, that they're getting their eyes on Him and off the things of the world, and as Paul wrote in his closing epistle before he left the earth, he was worried and nervous and tired. And there, he reads that scripture. Oh, how I feel for that little Jew when he said, "Let no one trouble me. I fought a good fight, and I've finished my course. I've kept the faith, and henceforth there is a crown of righteousness that the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day." Then he thought of the morning star a coming, and he said, there he draws a cornerstone and an arrow toward the cornerstone. Oh, lift up your heads. Your redemption is drawing nigh. And he said, I am turning to a previous sentence. And he said, not only to me, but to all them that love his appearing. Oh, lift up your heads. Your redemption is drawing nigh. Watchman, what makes the papers say this? What makes science afraid to move? What makes the Pentagon scared to put their information out? Because people would commit suicide and throw their money in the street and things. What's the matter? What is it? What of the night? The morning cometh. That's right. What is it all about? It's the making of the morning coming, and it's pressing forward the light. It's making gross darkness come just before the light goes to shining. I'm so glad to be a Christian. I'm so glad that I am his watchman, one of them, that's standing on the wall crying out, prepare to meet God. For the hour of his coming is drawing nigh. That was the work of the forerunner, to prepare the people to receive his coming. He said, I may not do it, but this message will introduce Jesus Christ to the world. In other words, he in his time will not be allowed by God to see in his earthly body the one that he presented, like John saw him. He said, I may be taken before that time, or in some way killed, because he says, let us read it as it is, page 119, paragraph 1058. I may be building a platform for somebody else to step on. I may be taken before that time. But I do believe that we are so close that I will never die with old age. Yet, at 54 years old, I'll never die with old age until he is here, see? In other words, the one he was forerunning. At that time, that veil of flesh had not yet been born. unless I'm shot, killed, or something other. Some way killed. Just old age wouldn't kill me until he's come. I may not do it, but this message will introduce Jesus Christ to the world. For as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming, so is the message to forerun the second coming. And John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." See? So it paralleled in every way, and I know it will. But notice, the Holy Spirit, John the Baptist saw it descending upon Jesus like a dove, because he was told, "The one upon whom you see the Holy Spirit descending like a dove, that is him." And he says, "And I saw him." In other words, John said, "And I saw him." Now, Brother Branham, in his body of flesh, did not do it. And he said, "If I could take my little church, when I see him and say, he is the one, later we'll find that place." But notice, God transported him and took him to where that ministry was. Look, he did not take him to the beginning. He took him to the climax or peak part of all the activities that were carried out. He took him where that ministry had already been magnified and was in the climax. And he says that he saw the pillar of fire resting there. Therefore, everything that was taking place was the work of the pillar of fire, of the pillar of light. That is, he can say, "And I saw him." Because when he went down there, notice, all he had left to say was, when the angel told him, "Do you remember the name you were hunting for when you dreamt about that?" In other words, he heard it, whether from that instrument, or that he saw it, or he saw it placed there. Because if one has a desk, and it's the place where you study, like the doctor's office, one goes in and enters, and well, you get Dr. So-and-so, who is going to take care of you. And you go in, and many times you go in, and the doctor isn't around. And you say, "Will I be in the right office?" "Well, let's check here. I was told that it's Dr. So-and-so, but I don't see him here. Let me make sure to see if I am the right office." And you look at the desk. "Dr. So-and-so, Dr. So-and-so, I'm in the right office." And do you know something? That in the secret chamber, in that office of the age of the cornerstone, there you can say, "I am in the right office, because I am looking at the name of the one who is to minister upon me the healing of my body." In other words, I am in the office of the physician, the doctor, who will transform me. And there, you identify the doctor. How do you identify him? By the name. Because one thing matches with the other, and you say, "This is him." When Brother Branham saw him there, he said, "I will take this to the grave. A human being in this world will not know it." Now, they will not know it through his mouth, because he spoke the first and second pool, and there were many imitations. If he was to speak what God was carrying out there through that instrument, look, it is in this manner, and how many have risen to imitate? Why? Because he said that nothing would be said about the third pool, because they could imitate the second coming of the Lord. And one can say, but such a great thing. How can that be imitated? Simple. Because it was going to be fulfilled through a simple veil of flesh. And it would be in a certain way in which they could imitate it. And the people could have turned their sight to those other impostors, impersonators, imitators. But thank God that the chosen ones of God have not taken their sight away from the Holy Spirit, and they have seen where He whirled away to, where He is, where He is. And we can say, as that child said, "Mom, but I want a God of flesh, that I can touch Him." Well, do you know something? God is fulfilling that request of that child. You all are that child. And God, notice, is fulfilling that promise in a veil of flesh, like you all have. Now, He continues to say there, and you here in this church this morning, if there be one who isn't positive that the morning star is reflecting its light into your hearts, the great Holy Spirit, may you prepare for that. For there is one greatest event that's ever taken place is at hand right now. We are standing on the brim, watching a drama being set. And he writes to the side, Revelation 2:28, 22:16, 7:2, 11:3-18. Now, let us turn back to the study of this message that we are reading, Watch a Commandment to All. He tells us, a little further on in that same message, he says, "And now, Christ will give authority and power over all nations to the faithful and wise servant who will be on earth and will obtain the great victory in divine love." And now he says, "And I will give him the bright and morning star." In other words, he says here that he will give him Christ, his coming. Since the bright and morning star is Christ, and Christ in the pillar of fire will be in that messenger, they will receive the pillar of fire, the Holy Spirit, Christ in Holy Spirit on the last day. For Christ through him fulfilled that promise. And therefore the power and authority that Christ received in heaven, he will manifest it through the overcomer. It will be Christ working through his messenger of the last day. In other words, Christ will transfer that power and authority to the overcomer of the last day. And through that messenger, he will work that power and authority of Christ. In the Book of the Ages, on page 62, he tells us, page 62, it says right here, that day is coming soon. The fig tree has put forth her buds. The Israelites are waiting for the Messiah. They are expecting him, and their expectations are about to be fulfilled. Israel will be reborn spiritually for her light and her life are about to be revealed to her. On light, he writes Moses, and in life, he writes Elisha. And Revelation 21:23, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. This is the new Jerusalem, and he writes, the bride. The Lamb will be in that city, and because of his presence, there will be no light needed. The sun won't rise and shine there, for he is the sun and light thereof himself. The nations that come into it will walk in his light. Aren't you happy that that day is upon us? John saw that day coming. Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. And to the left, he writes, the sun. And below that day coming, he writes, eighth day. To the left, he also writes there, that day / eighth day equals eternal. Malachi 4:1-3, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yeah, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that he shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. There on arise, he writes, in the east, Revelation 10:1-11. And on his wings, he writes Elijah and Moses. And to the left, as well, Elijah and Moses. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. There it is again. And he writes, the sun. The sun shining out in all of its strength. Oh, the strength of the Son of God shining in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. There he stands, the judge, the one who suffered and died for us. He took the wrath of divine judgment upon himself. He tread the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of God alone. As we have already stated, to the sinner, his voice is as the sound of the cataract or the surf pounding in waves of death upon the rocky shores. But to the saint, his voice is as the sound of the sweetly singing brook as you lie at rest, satisfied in Christ. Shining upon us with his warming rays of love, he says, fear not, I am he which was, which is to come, I am the Almighty. And on warning rays of love, he writes, divine love. Beside me there is none other. And he writes, the all of it. I am the Alpha and Omega, the all of it. And there he draws a Star of David, and he writes, the all of it again. He is the lily of the valley. the bright and morning star. And on star, he writes, Moses. He is the fairest of 10,000s to my soul. And he writes, preachers. Yes, that great day, and he writes, 8th day, is ready to break, and the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. And he writes, the dispensation of the kingdom, he wrote it to the left. And when I saw him, I felt at his feet as dead. Now when? He writes there, to the second dispensation. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, and on right hand he writes, power. Fear not, I am the first and the last. First he writes, Jesus, and in last he writes, Moses and Elijah. Like the sons of Rachel, Joseph, Rachel, and Benjamin. In other words, the sons of the beloved wife, the Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Revelation 1:17-18. Now notice, of this book, that is further on, it says, don't fear, John, don't fear, little flock. All that I am, you are heirs to. And he writes, son of man, son of Abraham, all my power is yours. My omnipotence is yours as I stand in your midst. I have not come to bring fear and failure, but love and courage and ability. All power is given unto me, and it is yours to use. You speak the word, and I will perform it. That is my covenant, and he can never fail. And he writes there, speak the word in the eternal age, the eternal covenant. And he writes Mark 11:22-24. Now, that is what Brother Branham spoke to us about on page 61 of that church that he wanted to see. Now notice, it was not fulfilled in the manifestation of the fourth Elijah, but it will be fulfilled soon in this manifestation of the fifth Elijah. Now notice what it tells us on page 61, paragraph 528. I've often wanted to come into a church. I've longed to see it. Now, he longed to see this. I guess. Now, he longed to see that. I thank God that I am seeing that. What he longed to see, I'm seeing it. A church, not only here in Brazil, but in all the places where the teaching under the tent is being received, and they are being prepared for this to soon become a reality. I guess where I could walk in the back door, front door, wherever it was. In other words, that there is nothing hidden in that church. That there is nothing hidden in that church. That you have to enter obligatory through here. Because in the back I have hidden things that I haven't fixed. Or things that I do not want you to see. That would be a hypocritical church of appearance. But when one is able to enter a church from all sides, and that the minister and those brethren who are gathered there have nothing to hide, but they are clean and pure and sincere. Wherever it was, look across an audience and see a perfect church all in order. Sin couldn't stay there. No. The Spirit calls it out. You see? It just couldn't stay. Like Ananias and Sapphira. You just couldn't do it. There'd be no sin in that group. And on top he writes Ananias and Sapphira. Now, what can God do with a church like that? She will have no limits. Look, this is what he says on page 6 in the book of quotations. Page 49. He says, "Oh, brother, give me a church full of the Holy Ghost. God will do in 1 year what all theologists fail to do in 2,000 years. You wait till the anointing of the church really strikes home. In which home? This is his home. This is your home. Let him strike there. Let him strike there. To that faithful little remnant after the doors of the Gentiles is closed." In other words, when that dispensation of grace was closed, brother, which was already closed, then, at what time is it? It is at this time. In which group? In this group. The Latin American and Caribbean group. And wherever a Latin American or Caribbean is, that word reaches there. And there, that word is striking, hitting this home. In Africa, in Switzerland, in Spain, in Canada, in Australia, in all places. Why has the Great Tribulation not yet entered and opened on earth? Because they are children of God scattered around the world. And only sporadically these constructions are opening where the world is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the children of God. In other words, it's like you open the phone. I think we talk about it once, so that you could understand a little bit. And you go to a lot of places. But when you go to look for something in specific, and let us say, chosen from age of cornerstone, everything else in the map is erased, and dots appear in each place. And there, you see where they are on the map. That is how God sees the world. In his great digital plan, and more than digital, because that is something that is limitless. But speaking it in terms like this to understand it, he knows where each one is. In each place where they are, there he goes to make it possible for that word to strike home. Really strike home to that faithful little remnant after the door of the Gentiles is closed. Oh, God will anoint a church then. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he who is holy, let him be holy still. and God will anoint the church with the power of God, and things will be taking place. Not only that then, but He's doing it now. Now notice, there He draws a cornerstone and the ages, and at the bottom, He draws a door. In other words, to enter into the dispensation of grace, it was required to enter through the door that was Christ. But in the cornerstone, there is a door also drawn. So then it is required to enter through that door, who is Christ in His second coming. And there He also writes, little remnant. And He writes at the top, the anointing after the door of the Gentiles is closed. And in order to anoint that church, in other words, she has to first be prepared in order to receive the fullness of God. In other words, what God is doing today is preparing the people to receive His fullness. And that there is where the overcomers are. Now, how do you overcome? Notice, in the book of the seals, there He told us what is to overcome. We all know, as Christians, that God swore to David that He would raise up Christ to sit on His throne and give Him an everlasting kingdom here on the earth. He did it. And Jesus said, He that overcomes the Antichrist and all the things of the world. Now, that is the church that He says that He would enter and that He will not find sin in her. In other words, none of the things of the world, nothing that is outside of God's perfect will. And you say, but I cannot get out of this. It is too difficult for me. Lord, I want to, but I fall. Keep on going. Don't get discouraged. You are one of these overcomers. And at some point, as I told you a little while ago, even if you're pinched with the door while the door closes of the dispensation of the kingdom, you will enter in. Because don't you think that the dispensation of the kingdom, that door will remain open? That door is closed at some point. In other words, we are in a time where from one moment to another, that door closes and that dispensation will fully begin. Now, all of that has two or three more angles, and we can have a study that talks about what the dispensation of the kingdom is. Because notice that that dispensation has a time period, and it covers the entire millennium. Because after the millennium, it is no longer counted as time, because it's eternity. And in a study, he writes, the eternal dispensation or eternity. And notice that that can open the picture more to us about what the dispensation of the kingdom is for us and everything that entails and involves that door that is there, which is Christ in His second coming. He that overcomes the Antichrist and all the things of the world shall sit with me on my throne as I have overcome and have sit down on my Father's throne. See? Now someday He rises from the Father's throne and goes to take His own throne. Now, there we have the other mercy seat. He rises from the throne of the Father and will sit upon his throne. Now, that is the throne of David, because he comes as Son of David. He comes as the Son of Man and Son of David in his claiming work. Now he comes forth to call his subjects. How is he going to claim them? Remember that when he leaves the throne of intercession, is that he carries out the claiming work of everything he redeemed with his precious blood. Then, how will he claim it? He already has the book of redemption in his hand. In other words, he, by taking the book from the right hand of God, open it in heaven and bring it to earth and handing it to a man to eat it. Notice, there, that scripture is fully fulfilled of prophesying over many people, nations, and tongues. And by doing that work, he's carrying out that claiming work. Why can he do the claiming work? Because he ate the book. He ate the title. Now remember, the title is an abstract book. Now, it is the revelation of God, of who he is, who the pillar of fire is, the pillar of light. Where? The pillar of fire is. Who is this one? They said there, in the time of Jesus. Now remember that to obtain the revelation of who he was, that revelation from up high was needed. Not a theological revelation, because the first thing they said is, this is the son of Joseph and Mary, who we don't know how he was born. He's an illegitimate child. See? Notice they were speaking humanly. But those who got the revelation from above, they said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. In other words, notice the difference. Some saw him as a simple man, a construction worker, a Beelzebub who had demons. And others saw him as the Son of the Most High God, the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Do you see the two angles? Some saw him by human theology. Others saw him with divine revelation. And you, don't you believe that in his second coming is the same thing? Some say, this is not qualified nor fulfills the requirements for that. This is an usurper. This is Beelzebub. He has demons. This one doesn't even know what he says. Look, that and many more things they have said. But notice how history repeats itself. They are the same spirits, but with other characters. But thanks to God, that there is a people of God at this time who have identified his coming and have said, he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. He is the fulfillment of what the Reverend William Branham foretold. This is him. So will the Hebrew people also say, this is him. But the bride has identified him a long time ago. Instead, what she is doing is confirming, receiving all that revelation, because it is for her that he comes to give her the rapturing faith. She will not be looking to see if he's tall, skinny, chubby, bald, or how he speaks. What she's interested in is the revelation that he's bringing, the revival that the people is having through what he speaks. And then later on, anyone may say, when they see the miracles in the great tent cathedral, those physical miracles, ah, look, that was really where God was fulfilling all that. But blessed are those who have seen before, for they do not need physical miracles, even though they are already happening. But notice, the greatest miracle is to open the spiritual eyes of a blind man. We have been blind in darkness. But notice, the watchmen have told us, the day is coming, be watchful, and that warning, we have taken it seriously. And when the Son of Righteousness has been shining upon us, we said, this is what the prophets spoke about, what the forerunner of the second coming of the Lord said, that we should be watching for. That flash, when that switch was turned on, we were not blinded, rather we saw everything clearly. And we could identify the pillar of fire working in a simple way, because everything was going to be in simplicity. Now, notice what he continues to say here in the message we are reading from our brother William. Now we can see that the watchman or sentinel or guard of the last day will be saying, the morning is coming, the glorious millennial kingdom of Christ is coming. Everything promised by Christ for his millennial kingdom is coming. The millennial kingdom is coming. The millennium is coming. And now, the morning of a new millennial day comes for the elect of God. The morning of a new dispensational day comes for the children of God. And the morning of the age of the cornerstone comes and is with the sons and daughters of God. For the age of the cornerstone does not belong to the night, but belongs to the morning of a new dispensational day and to the morning of a new millennial day. In the message, Under and Doctrine of the Church, this is volume 12 of Questions and Answers. Questions and Answers. It says on page, this is of the thick book, but I have it here in a booklet. It will be on page 61. He says, now, the biggest among them in the morning that heralds the coming of the sun, the setting of the sun and the coming of the sun, is the morning star and the evening star. Is that right? Two of the biggest stars, the eastern star and the western star. And he writes, the western star equals Jesus. Now you see where it's at. Elijah was the messenger to hail, herald the coming of the eastern star. And on eastern star he writes Jesus, and predicted to be the heralder. And he writes the fourth Elijah, to be the heralder of the western star, and he writes Christ in, or the coming again of the new day. And on new day he writes seventh dispensation. After this day is past, and he writes seventh age and sixth dispensation. Now, you see what it is? And he writes there, the western star equals Christ in his angel. Now notice in this message, why little Bethlehem, on page 3, it says, we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. Now, where he says his star, he writes Moses and Elijah. Now we are seeing that that star, it says there that is Christ. But remember that the Son of Man comes with his angels. In other words, the coming of the Son of Man with his angels, we are seeing that it's the morning star that announces a new dispensational day. Now, also in the message, a guide, he tells us on page 17, we have seen his star in the east and followed it all the way here in the west to worship him. Where is he? They followed God's provided way. They got tied up with a bunch of creeds down there in a little while. They come into Jerusalem and begin to go up and down the street. These finest dressed people saying, where is he? Where is he born King of the Jews? Well, that was the head. That was Jerusalem. Surely the big church ought to know something about it. Where is he? Where is he born King of the Jews? Where is he? Where is he born King of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east. We come to worship him. Where is he? And above he writes, star equals Luther Wesley and the Reverend William Branham. And he also writes, star equals messenger equal Elijah, Moses, and Jesus. And he writes again, star equals messenger, shepherd, angel. Also in the message, the reproach for the cost of the word, on page 28, there it tells us, they got an old astronomy calendar in the constellation of these stars and threw it right down towards Babylon, and the wise men brought it down. Remember? They crossed their orbits, low swung billions of light years apart again. And those Jewish wise men that was up at Babylon, they seen that constel, coming to that constellation, them stars. Three of them move in together and make that one morning star. And they know that by the word of God, that that was the time when them stars come together, that the Messiah was to be on earth. That's the reason they started, where is he, born King of the Jews? Where is he? Now look, we have read that the stars, which represent the messengers, and here he is telling us that they were in line. And look what he writes there. When the three stars were aligned, the Messiah was on earth. And he writes, equals Moses and Elijah, Jesus, the morning star. And he draws Star of David, and the cornerstone, and an arrow toward the cornerstone. Now, if the morning star is Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, well, since they are lined up, the people of God have in their midst the Messiah. In other words, with that manifestation of those three ministries, automatically, the Messiah is on earth. The Anointed One, the Christ, is on earth. He goes on to say, in questions and answers on page 61 and on paragraph 408, the East, it shall be light in the three dots. See? Just before the sun was heralded to the earth, the morning star, and he writes, Elijah, give witness that the sun's coming. Is that right? See? That brings forth the morning star. Well, then the morning star, and he writes, Elijah, and the evening star, and he writes Elijah as well, are the same type of stars. And on type he writes Elijah. And there are little stars all across. Don't you see what I mean? The messengers. And there he draws a cornerstone and the ages and stars. Well, then, he was to look upon as Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, jasper and sardius, stone. See what I mean? Now, the coming of Christ drawing near at hand. Then the message that Elijah was supposed to preach in the last days, if there is a repeat of the history, just like the morning star heralds the coming there. The evening stars heralds the coming of a new day, another day. This is the coming of the sun, then that heralds the going of the sun that we have had, and the coming of a new sun. And on new sun, he writes the second coming of Christ. And he also writes on the side, new day with a new sun. And to the left, a cornerstone and the ages. And he also writes, another age and another dispensational day. A new age. And he draws a little cornerstone. A new time coming in. And he writes, seventh dispensation. Now listen at, then if John brought forth his message and heralded the first coming of Christ, and Elijah comes in the last day, the prophet said, it'll be light in the evening time. In other words, there would be a light in the evening time. There he writes, last day. The evening light, the biggest evening light we got is the evening star. Greatest light we got. He draws a cornerstone in the ages, and an arrow toward the seventh age, and another to the gap. And above, in the cornerstone, the sun and streaks. Well then, it would have to herald the same message that it was at this other star. It's heralding the sun, speaking of the sun. Well, now we're in the evening time. The evening lights are here. This age is vanished away. See what I mean? This day has passed over, and there will be heralding another day coming. And he draws a cornerstone in the ages, and an arrow toward the cornerstone. For, see, that's actually, if somebody was in the west and look to that star, it would be in the east. And then, you see, we have seen his star in the east. But they were in the east looking westward toward that star. Is that right? The wise man was over in the west, over in the east, looking back toward the western star. See what I mean? But it was an eastern star to the ones that were in the west. There he writes, East Babylon, or Chaldea. And he writes, America, Western, Israel, East. See, like we'd say, I always say, down is up. How do you know but what that's right? We're standing in eternity. So the South Pole may be up and the North Pole may be down. We don't know. See, the way up is down. See, will leave this. After this, we go into eternity. In other words, after that, notice, one enters into eternity. It's hailing, heralding a coming of an eternity. He drew a Star of David to the left side. A different day, a different time. He draws a cornerstone and the ages to the right, and an arrow toward the cornerstone, and all together. Now we're in the evening time. We believe that. We believe that the coming of the Lord is at hand. All right. Now, if that be so, then there's got to be an evening light. And the evening light, according to Malachi 4, was supposed to turn the heart of the children back to the fathers, back to the beginning. But when he came the first time, he was turning the heart of the fathers to the children. The children was the ones that he had gathered around him. He was to bring the children, the heart of the fathers, the old ancient Orthodox fathers, back to the light that he was heralding here. And he drew a Star of David. And he writes John 1:1-18. John 1:1-18. And he draws a cornerstone in the ages. But when he comes again, he's turned right back around. Did you notice? Before the world was destroyed, the great and terrible day of the Lord, and turned the heart of the children to the fathers. The evening star, which was the morning star at that time. Amen. And he drew the seventh age alone, and the Star of David in the seventh age, and an arrow toward there. I hope I got it right. See, the evening star, which was the morning star, because it's the same star. We're in the west, looking east. They was in the east, looking west. It's exactly the same star. See what I mean? It depends on where you're at, see? Whether it's the eastern star or the western star. That is why I placed you before in the most holy place, in that example that we were speaking about. Now, all of that, later on with more time, you can read it and study it. Because there is a great revelation there of many things that by reading them, as our brother Miguel tells us, I take more in when I read them because I can go back again and highlight it and search for more regarding that topic and the writings. And there is a lot of revelation there which God gave us. And on the front part, there in the writing, he writes, the western star and the eastern star are the same. In other words, it is the same God, creator of heavens and earth, who in this end time is shining upon us. Now, our brother William continues to say, therefore, the elect of God will be seeing the bright and morning star, manifested through the overcomer who receives the bright and morning star. They will be seeing the pillar of fire, the Holy Spirit, working through the overcomer of the last day. Just as Christ also manifested himself, the angel of the covenant, the pillar of fire, through the messengers of each age, and he was reflected. That is why there were the stars during the night pertaining to each age. It was a reflection of the Son of Christ in them. And now, for the end time, Christ will be manifesting himself through the guard, the watchman, the sentinel that he will have placed in his church to be watching. Now notice, in this message that we read, Watchman, What of the Night, there he writes on the front, Sentinel, Watchman, equals the angel Elohim. Now notice, who do you have? Who does the church have at this end time? Elohim. He is the sentinel, he is the watchman. It is the Holy Spirit, the pillar of fire. Every faithful and wise servant in each age had to be watching, keeping a watch for the coming of the Son of Man. And the last sentinel who has the watch, the guard or the watch in the morning, is the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the book of the seals, on page 559, you are the one. There were his words that evening. And I didn't understand. But if he's here with me, even when he left, I thought, well, he will return. But those words echoed in me. You are the one. Now notice, page 559 of the Book of the Seals. It may be time, it may be the hour now, that this great person that we are expecting to rise on the scene may arise on the scene. And to the left he writes, Moses and Elijah. Maybe this ministry that I have tried to take people back to the Word has laid a foundation. And if it has, I'll believe in you for good. There won't be two of us here at the same time. See, if it is, he'll increase, I'll decrease. I don't know. But I have been privileged by God to look and see what it was. And there, to look and see what it was, Brother William writes there, in the tent. In other words, automatically, when he is speaking about, I don't know who he will be or what will happen, but God gave him the privilege to see him. I have been privileged by God to look and see what it was. And Brother William writes, in the tent. Where did he see him? In the tent. Where did he see the one that needed to increase and for him to decrease? In a tent. But I have been privileged by God to look and see what it was. There he writes, look and see, and he writes, in the tent. And what it was, or was, he writes, Moses. In other words, a dispensational messenger. See unfold to that much. Now that is the truth. And I am sure that you've noticed the things that's been happening this week. I'm sure you noticed that little Collins boy laying there dying the other night. That little leukemia girl. The kingdom of God is coming. And he writes, dispensation of the kingdom. And it's becoming more from the negative. And he writes there, the seventh ages with their angels to the positive. And he writes the morning star. As it has been now. Now notice what he says. Now, that out to choke people. What? What he saw. From justification to sanctification, to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then here, see, and Brother William writes, the coming of the Lord, the seventh seal. We're just drawing closer to God all the time. How would we be getting closer to God? By going up to that eternal age. By going up to where Elohim is. And there he draws a cornerstone and the ages. Now on that page, 552, in that previous paragraph to the one we read, there when he says that he did not know who he was, let us read it to have it here as well. Now, when that gets on tape, which it is, that probably sent 10,000 of my friends away from me, because they're going to say that Brother Branham is trying to put himself and make himself a servant or a prophet or something before God. Let me tell you, my brethren, that is an error. I'm only telling you what I've seen and what has been told to me. And now you do whatever you want to. Because remember, each person has free will. I don't know who is going to. And then who is, he writes, Moses and Elijah. In other words, in whom God, the Holy Spirit, will be operating the ministry of Moses and Elijah. I don't know who is going to, what's going to take place. And he writes, the veil of flesh. In other words, who will be the veil of flesh in whom the Holy Spirit would be operating the ministries of Moses in his second manifestation, and Elijah in his fifth manifestation, and of Jesus in his second manifestation? I don't know. I just know that those seven thunders hold that mystery. The heavens was quiet. And there is where he writes, who is it? And to the right, he draw a cornerstone and the ages. And he also writes thunders, and he also writes again, who is it? Now, that of the stumbling block, he also said it. In the first seal, is it? Where he speaks what we said this morning from memory. That he said, let it pass. Would it be 136. But think now, he wrote this. But when he started to write those others, seven thunders, he said, don't write it. He had been commissioned to write everything he's seen. But when these seven thunders over in Revelation 10 uttered, he said, don't write them at all. They are mysteries. We don't know what they are yet. But my opinion, they'll be revealed right away, and when it do, it'll give faith for that rapturing grace, for that church to move out, see? To the right he had written, the seven thunders, a star of David. rapturing faith. We've just moved through everything that we know of, through all the dispensations. We've watched everything. We've seen the mysteries of God. We've seen the appearing of the great gathering together of the bride in the last days. But yet, there is something in there that we just can't lighten ourselves with. There is something other. But I imagine when them mysteries begin to come forth, God said, hold it back now. Wait a minute, I'll reveal it in that day. Don't write it at all, John, because they'll stagger over it. Just let it go. See? But I'll reveal it in that day when it has need to be done. And he writes 8 day. And he writes, has need to be done. In other words, the time to know it, to know this mystery, is this time. Now is when we have the need to leave this earth, to the marriage supper of the Lamb, before the divine judgments fall. This is the time to open those mysteries which are being opened, are being known by those who love His coming, those who are waiting for His coming, for those who were longing for that rapturing faith. Now, our brother William says, so if the coming of the Son of Man, the coming of the Lord with His angels, was not at sunset, nor at midnight, nor at the cock crowing, then it is in the morning, and it is up to that guard to announce the mystery of the second coming of Christ. To whom is it given to announce the mystery of the second coming of Christ? To reveal to the church bride the mystery of the second coming of Christ? To that last guard, the mystery of the seventh seal. And it is up to him to identify the seventh seal with the coming of the Lord. In other words, he would present himself. The watchman with the morning star. That's a good subject also, right? For some study. The watchman with the morning star. Because I read it here in the booklet, Watch What of the Night. And there he wrote, the watchman with the morning star. In other words, with the second coming of the Lord. The morning star. I feel with the desire to continue. Because you are good students. The presence of the Lord is felt in a good atmosphere to continue speaking for hours and hours. I even have the voice that I like it when I have it like this. So I have nothing. I feel clearly to speak. So, thank you very much for your kind attention, beloved friends and brothers present. And we were already speaking about a big activity in Sao Paulo. So, we went to Manaus to do this. Take air. Breathe. Get strength to continue on in the work that God entrusted me with. We breathe pure air here. we are in the lungs of the world. So if you want to get some good air, come to Manaus. But as they say, like, this is an unpaid advertisement. I don't know how you say it here, because one gives promotion without cost. That one is free. I know that there are many people here from different places, not only from Brazil, but from other countries. And notice, we can all get together in one place, and we seem all from the same place, because we are from that New Jerusalem. We belong to the most holy place, and therefore, we are all equal there. No one is greater than the other. We are all equal. That is why let us respect one to another. The minister with the brethren, do not think because you are a minister, you can trample on a sheep, even the one who has a small position in that group, whether he's a sweeper or whatever he is. In other words, the one who sings, the one who plays. We are all equal before God. And men, respecting their wives, don't treat them like a rag, because by she's being your wife, she has to cook for you or fix your clothes. She knows what she has to do. Do not treat her as a slave. Do you know why I'm saying this? Because they have asked me to pray for their husbands so that they may treat them the right way. So at this point, it seems unbelievable that there are still husbands who treat their wives like rags, treat her like a queen, and wives treat their husbands like kings. Remember that God is preparing both men and women, like elderly, like young, like children. We are all kings and priests, queens, princesses of the kingdom of God. God is helping us and will continue to help us to continue on that right path, the path that leads us and is leading us to perfection. Well, you see, there is no way to stop. So, that's enough with this hour. 1 hour, Miguel? Right, Miguel? 1 hour, more or less? What? 2 hours? 3 hours? No. Oh, my. Time flew by. 2 hours what? Oh my. It was like to take a break and then go on. But let us stand up. Let us stretch a little bit. And there is a hymn out there, the one prepared with Mariana Rocha, the daughter of Nisinhas, which she composed a song, and it is updated. That is, it is a song that tells us of what God is carrying out at this time. They even prepared a little sheet so that you can follow it. Everyone knows it. Maybe some words have been changed. but is a beautiful song. So let us ask Mariana Rocha and João Victor on the piano. It is prepared here. And we will sing it. We will sing along her in this beautiful song. The Anointed One of God speaking directly to our heart. In other words, straight to our soul, striking us at home. Here, the Anointed of God, we may tell him, keep on talking to us directly to the heart. Continue revealing yourself. Continue giving us the rapturing faith, the morning star. We leave with us our beloved brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.